Everyone needs a pastor. A visit to the Pastor's Study brings biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you and pastoral ministry from those with proven experience in Christian service. Our time together will be lively, sometimes controversial, always useful, and never dull. Welcome to the study of Pastor Bill Shishko.
Pastor Bill Shishko here with you, and it's great to have you with us for today's visit to the Pastor's Study. I think that one of the biggest challenges facing Christian parents is preparing your sons and daughters for college. I know from experience, my wife and I did it with our six children, and each one was different. And frankly, I think it's almost more challenging than preparing your son or daughter for marriage. Now, that's preparing them to leave father and mother and be joined to a spouse. And preparing your son or daughter for college is preparing them to leave father and mother and be joined to a whole new world. And that's really what college or university life is, especially if your son or your daughter moves away from home to enter that whole new world. That's sometimes also a brave new world. If you've never gone through this experience, let me just tell you a little about it. I'm not talking about the actual experience of college or university life, that's for another program, but just working through the issues of attending school beyond the high school level. It's a little like fighting a war on multiple fronts. Well, for starters, you need to honestly ask the question, should my son or daughter go to college or university? Now, despite popular opinion, college is not for everyone. Or it may be the case that college is not for your son or daughter right now. And would it be better for my child to go to a technical school or learn a trade? Or would it be good to learn a trade before going to college and majoring in something that, well, may or may not be particularly useful for getting a job? Is my child mature enough for the rigors and the demands of college life? Can my child's faith withstand the moral and the intellectual challenges that college life typically bring? And that's not all. Related to this is the purpose of your child going to college. Now, what does he or she want to major in? And that's not easy to answer in a world in which spheres of service have broadened way, way, way beyond the professions of teaching, practicing law or medicine, or even business. Now there are virtually endless subdivisions of these traditional fields, and add to that the hundreds of new fields that have opened because of technological new frontiers in the past half century. What does your son or daughter want to do with his or her life? What gifts and abilities do your son and daughter have? You need to help them assess these honestly, and then how will college, or a particular college, help prepare your child for related occupations or fields of service? Then there's the question of doing post-high school work locally or in another area of the nation or even the world. Is your son or daughter ready to move away and in a real sense be on his or her own in a very new world? Why would he or she want to move away if there are equivalent and probably less expensive college opportunities nearby? And this is becoming even more of an issue as online college education is becoming more available and, well, for many reasons, quite attractive. And very high on the list of your concerns is whether your son or daughter should attend a secular institution or a Christian one. And that's a topic in itself, but is your son or daughter prepared to think under the lordship of Jesus Christ in an environment that in all too many cases is overtly hostile to historic Christianity? Is having an Ivy League education your goal for your child, even if that education and the environment in which it comes have the potential of destroying your child's faith? And I should add at this point, what church will your son or daughter attend if he or she is away from home church or away from a church of your Christian denomination? And we've not even mentioned that many Christian colleges may not be as thoroughly committed to the Bible as the Word of God and to historic Christian doctrine as you may think. Then there's the issue of the cost of college. whether the cost of a secular college or a Christian college. How will you pay what can easily become massive expensive for 4 or more years of college or university education? Now, loans for college are relatively easy to get, but is it wise for your child to be thousands and thousands of dollars in debt, keeping in mind that in many, if not most cases, a year or years of postgraduate work will be necessary for your son or daughter to get the required degrees for his or her field? And I cannot overstate how serious this is. See, the Bible warns against debt in no uncertain terms. The borrower becomes a slave to the lender, says the writer of Proverbs. In a culture awash in debt, which will have serious implications in not too many years, is it wise to jeopardize your child's freedom in Christ with what could well be lifelong bondage to debt for something that was purchased decades before? And in preparing your child or yourself for college, you must face all of these issues and many more even before going to college and entering a whole new world that will either help a college student to renew his or her mind according to the Word of God and according to the will of God, or tempt the college student to renounce his or her faith by capitulating to the word and the will of modern academia. How well grounded is your son or daughter in knowing about God, God's creation, the implications of the fall of humankind into sin, the necessity of redemption in Jesus Christ, the Christian life, and even in understanding himself or herself in living to God in his glory? You see, the stakes in all of this are really quite literally eternal ones. Well, that's why we're taking today's whole program to consider all that's meant by preparing for college, whether you're preparing for yourself or for your son or daughter. Jesus calls us to count the cost in anything we do as professed Christians. And, well, given the pivotal importance of education beyond the high school level, there are few areas of life in which we need to more carefully count the cost. How do you prepare for the experience of college or university life and training? And how do you help your son or daughter to prepare? Well, my guest for today's visit to the pastor's study is Dr. David Innes, an ordained minister in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church and chairman of the program in Politics, Philosophy, and Economics at the King's College, which is located in downtown Manhattan in New York City. And Dr. Innes has been on the program to talk about a Christian view of politics, and I commend that program to you. It's in our archives. It's been regarded as one of the best brief presentations on the subject of a Christian view of politics that you can find anywhere. Today, though, he's talking more generally about preparing for college. Dr. Innes, welcome once again to a visit to the Pastor's Study.
It's a pleasure to be here, Bill.
Good to have you with us. Let's get started right. And I know you want to tell us all about the King's College, and we'll get to that later in the program. But for now, Dr. Innes, give us just a little primer on preparing for college.
Well, college, you know, you go through elementary school, high school, and then what do you do? College is not to be undertaken lightly. It is very expensive. It is 4 years of your life. And where you go to college will set the course for your life in one direction or another. So it's a very serious decision. Whether to go to college, where to go to college, what kind of college, and that's what we're here to talk about this morning, outline some of the issues that are involved in that.
Yeah, and I should mention, I was so excited about getting to my guest and dear friend, Dr. Innes. I forgot to mention, this is a call-in program, and we usually get so caught up in our own discussion, we forget to remind you, we'd love your calls, 631-955-5400, 631-955-5400. Dr. Innes, do you agree that college is not for everyone? I mean, how does a person decide if college is for him or her or for a person's son or daughter?
Well, high school is for everyone. That's where you learn to read and write and basic understanding of history and civics and math and science. But college, it depends what you want to get out of college. There are some college experiences which are very technical and vocationally driven, let's say a two-year degree to make you a dental assistant at a local community college, something of this sort. And then there is the private university four-year liberal arts degree, and these are very different things. Then there are some people who don't need either one of these things to do what they want to do, at least to do what they want to do immediately, or for the rest of their lives. As you said, it may be one might want to learn a trade, but then even trades, there's school involved, not necessarily college. So you really have to ask, what do I want to do? How am I going to serve the Lord in life with the gifts he has given me? And what are the best means to that end? There's no point in paying $120,000 for something that isn't necessary to get you where you want to go.
Okay, let me personalize this, Dr. Innes. Let's say someone comes to New York, they visit you in your office, they're just completely undecided about what to do. We'll say the person is a junior in high school, and he or she and his or her family are beginning to think about college, and they just don't know what to do. What kinds of diagnostic questions do you ask them?
Okay. They don't know what to do. I would say you're young. Maybe take a gap year and grow a little, mature a little, because you're proposing to undertake serious study of serious things: history, philosophy, politics, languages, and so forth, where you're asked not just to regurgitate things, if it's a good college, but think about them, digest them, reflect upon them, and put them together. If you don't know what you want to study and put together, maybe a year of travel is a good thing, if there's a travel opportunity, or if there's a work opportunity somewhere here, somewhere else in the country, even somewhere overseas, that may be a growing opportunity. I knew kids who took a year off and went on mercy ships, went on a ship, worked on a ship, the Anastasis, which went to Africa and served people there with severe medical conditions, and that was a maturing, growing experience. They came back more ready to undertake that step toward the rest of their life in college. So college is expensive, so maybe a year working is a good idea. My kids are going to be 17 when they graduate high school. That just seems very young to me.
Yeah. Okay. So college. Are there students though who really ought to go right on to college as soon as they're done high school? What does that kind of student look like?
This is a student who's been taking study in high school seriously. This is a student who already is reflecting upon him or herself, his or her friends, life as it flows by, the news, big issues that confront us, and is serious or serious about science, is already looking into data issues and biological issues, and is clearly ready to go on to the next stage. These are people who are hungry and ready to move along.
And probably a year off, they might lose some of that momentum.
That's a judgment call. Yeah, they might lose the momentum. Unless there is financial hardship, a financial necessity, keep going. Don't slow it down.
Would you include in this year off or 2 years off, we'll say, going to a trade school and learning a trade? So we'll say a student who majors in political science, which is wonderful, but I'm not sure how many jobs there are available out there, so that a person would have a trade to fall back on afterwards. Would that be an advisable course?
I haven't heard of that. If somebody can take a year working for a contractor with developing building skills, that you make money, you develop useful skills for life, that's fine. Another way to use that gap year, however, is something like Impact 360, which is a year-long spiritual training that really prepares people for college. And I'll get to that later on when we talk about spiritual preparation.
Okay. Well,
but generally, it's good to not break pace, but go on to university.
Yeah, okay. Good. Yeah, if you've got someone motivated and they're doing that, but if they've got to have a year to reboot, perhaps the year off would be good. This is your opportunity to speak with a college professor on the whole subject of preparing for college, whether you're helping your son or daughter do it, whether you're doing it yourself. Phone number 631-955-5400. Dr. Innes, let's talk about the things necessary for a person to prepare for college, mentally, emotionally, financially. You mentioned spiritually. What kind of maturity is necessary for college and college life?
Yes, this is very important, and people should pay close attention to this. As I said, a college education, it's 4 years of your life. It is a lot of money, and you are not just acquiring skills, you are growing as a person. You are becoming an adult. You're becoming the person you're going to be. This is something you prepare for. You don't just stumble into it. It's an academic experience, first of all. You need, in high school, learn to write. Can you write? Can you write an essay of more than 750 words, which isn't really an essay? Do you know how to take notes? Are you taking notes? Do you know how to study? I get students showing up to college who don't know how to do these things. So hone those skills, and above all, read, read, read. Know how to read. Be reading history, historical fiction, serious things, because that's what you're going to do in college, and it prepares your mind. And take your smartphone and throw it out the window. It's destroying your brain. It's shattering your span of attention. You need to prepare your mind for college.
I could tell you're a New Yorker with that. So the smartphone is an oxymoron, correct? It's a contradiction in terms.
Oh, it's a de-smartening phone.
Yeah.
studies are showing this across the board. And, you know, kids in high school will study. Oh, I studied 6 hours for that test. Why didn't I do well? Well, that's because you didn't study for 6 hours. You studied for 10 minutes, then went on to social media, then studied 10 more minutes, then went on to social media, and you have no span of attention, and it was all shattered.
No, I don't want to get too far afield, and we can't.
Yeah, that's another topic.
Yeah, it is.
Yes.
I mean, obviously, but what do you do when someone wants to come to college? They've got the goods, but they have basically been crippled because of their prior education, wherever they've gone to school. Then what do you do?
If you recognize that, you can account for it. You can supplement what you're getting in high school. If people are giving you a thin gruel in high school, you say, "I've got to take charge of my education because they're not giving it to me," and read, read, read.
Yeah, which
you
can do it. Yeah, which I think makes the argument that probably young people should be looking at colleges in their sophomore and junior years of high school and not waiting to the senior year.
Yeah.
So if they need to make changes, they've got the time to do it, correct?
There's also the spiritual preparation,
yes.
And I know you're interested in that.
Yes.
Pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Are you centered in Christ? Whether you're going to a Christian college or a secular college, you need to be centered. So when you go to college, you will have unprecedented freedom. Mom and dad aren't there saying, be home at 11. And there's a wide variety of people you'll have to confront. Do you have the moral and spiritual maturity? Do you know what you believe? A way to bolster yourself in this is to undertake something like Worldview Academy in the summer for a week.
Yes.
Or Summit Ministries. I think there's one in Tennessee and one in Colorado. 2 weeks, spiritual boot camp. They put you through it, and it is transformative. And as I said, maybe a whole year, Impact 360. These things, my kids are going to Worldview Academy this summer.
Tell us a little bit more about it. We need to break in just a moment, but tell us a little bit about Impact 360.
It's a year of studying Christian biblical beliefs and doctrine, apologetics, and the Christian mind. The scriptures in Romans chapter 12 said to conform your mind to the mind of Christ, and it is a serious undertaking in doing that in preparation for college.
So people
we've had some fine students come out of Impact 360.
So people could just Google Impact 360, and they're going to get the information. Okay.
Yeah. Or Worldview Academy is similar, but it's a week, an intense week.
Yes, and also
and they're all over the place.
Summit Ministries, I think you mentioned, they also do that.
Yeah.
We are, obviously, this is a fascinating topic with a lot of different extensions to it. I'm talking with Dr. David Innes, who is a professor of political science at the King's College in Manhattan and New York City. A phone number, if you'd like to ask about preparing for your college, for yourself or your child, 631-955-5400, 631-955-5400. We'll be back after this message.
That great city, New York. Metropolitan New York is the largest city in the United States. And with a population of over 20 million people, Metro New York is one of the largest cities in the world. And what's more, Metro New York is home to people from every nation of the world. To reach Metro New York is to reach the world. But churches faithful to historic Reformation Christianity in the Metro New York area are few and far between. The mission fields of Metro New York are America's richest and most neglected. Reformation Metro New York is an agency by which the Orthodox Presbyterian Church is planting and developing biblically faithful churches and church ministries in the Metro New York area. Through Reformation Metro New York, you can help promote the outreach of this program, A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and other projects designed to further the ongoing reformation of the church. That and church planting are the great passions of Reformation Metro New York. For more information, check out the website at reformationmetrony.org, where you'll get a personal look at the ministries of the churches, pastors, evangelists, and teachers of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church in the area, and you'll learn how you can be a part of our labors. We need your help. Here's the site again, reformationmetrony.org. Thanks for your interest and your help. Remember that great city, New York. To reach Metro New York is to reach the world. Now back to today's edition of A Visit to the Pastor's Study.
Pastor Bill Shishko here with you. Our telephone number as we speak about preparing for college, 631-955-5400, 631-955-5400. My guest, Dr. David Innes, who is chairman of the program in politics, philosophy, and economics. Fascinating just to talk about that at the King's College in downtown Manhattan. We're talking again about preparing for college in all different ways. We've dealt with spiritual aspects. Just real quickly, Dr. Innes, I do want to speak about finances. What kinds of things do you look for in the maturity of a child, especially a child who goes away to college?
Maturity. Well, a growing intellectual maturity.
But what does that look like, though? What does a growing intellectual maturity look like?
You know, when your kid comes to a certain age and childish prattle, and then at some point they start saying insightful things,
Okay. And
you can see they're thinking about their world, and they start saying sober things, and it takes your breath away. My child is becoming an adult, and they may be 15 or 16. That is a growing intellectual maturity and a readiness to grasp the world and a hunger to understand it.
Yeah, probably something of a spirit of the book of Ecclesiastes, that the Holy Spirit is working in your children, I would guess, would be a kind of a bigger way to describe it, right?
Yeah, and if the child is just drifting, well, why pay $30,000 a year to drift.
Yeah, especially when you have, and I want to be careful I say this, but we do have a culture that has a vested interest in academia and getting students in schools because they need the money, and that brings us to the whole question of the financial. There's a lot of costs of college, but the financial cost of college. Dr. Innes, how should parents and prospective students approach that big issue?
You should approach the issue the same way you would approach buying a car, or even more so, a house. You know, to qualify to buy a house, you have to go through a lot. But to qualify for student loans, almost nothing. They'll throw money at a child, and the child will become an adult and very heavily in debt. But you don't buy a house without investigating. You have the house inspected. Are the foundations sound? Is the roof good? Is there rot? Are there termites? You want to know these things because you're buying a $150,000, $300,000 item. A college education is no different. Is the foundation of this education sound? Are they selling me one thing but giving me another thing? Are they selling me education but giving me sort of radical indoctrination? This sort of thing. So you investigate the college, the placement rate for the college, but the substance. These professors, what have they studied? Where did they study? What did they publish? Is it nonsense or is it wise things? Are these wise people? These are things to look into.
Now, most
before
of this,
you spend money.
A lot of this, of course, can be done by just going online and going to the particular college and looking down the menu at the faculty members and so on. Mm-hmm. But you
surely have to visit.
Oh,
the
that's
college,
where I was
right?
going to go. We need to visit the school, right? Because you can't communicate the ambiance of a school on online with things. And also a caution to parents. One of the things we've run into is we've tried to, with our children, help out as much as we can with college. Sometimes those loans are just assumed by people, and they're factored in. And if you're not careful and you're reading the statement, you think you're paying a certain amount when, in fact, you're paying a certain amount that assumes loans you may not want your child to take. I mean, I know you're not in financial affairs at the King's College, but is that your understanding as something that can be a problem, Dr. Innes?
Assuming loans?
Yeah, in other words, probably not in your sphere of, but it does seem sometimes schools just assume students will be taking out loans. That's factored into the final bill for the parents. The parents may not realize that bill does assume certain loans. Hopefully the King's College doesn't do it that way.
Oh, yeah. I'm not on that side of things, and we're just dipping our toes into that issue with our kids coming of age. But there's a variety of loans with different kind of terms of repayment, different kinds of interest accrual, and there are grants, and it's just mesmerizing.
Well, all right, let me just ask the big question here. Of course, you're a Scot, so I kind of know where you're going to come down on this one. But what are your thoughts about loans for college? Period. I mean, is this the kind of thing you take out a mortgage for a house? You're assuming you're taking out a loan for something that appreciates in value. We think the same way with college?
Well, you buy a house, you take out a mortgage, and a college education has become a similar thing. It's something you really can't save up for, like a house. So you take out loans but you take out loans with the confidence that when you graduate, you'll be able to start paying back those loans. So you have to have some confidence that this college is going to prepare you to be a productive, stable adult.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah, at least my experience years ago when I was a teaching assistant and an advisor to students, and this goes back now in the 70s, but it was we had maybe a third of the incoming class that as I talk with them, they shouldn't have been in college to begin with because they didn't have the goods for it. Now it seems we have the problem on steroids because you not only have young people who may not need to go to college, but they are enticed by the loans and in some cases can be in thousands of dollars in debt and not even be completing college and plus majoring in something in which there's a serious question of whether they'll get a job to be able to pay that. I think that's where you're going with this, right?
Yes. There are some majors, you know, women's studies, psychology, sociology. It's going to be very difficult to get a job coming out of college with that sort of thing. So you have to know what you're doing going in. What do I want to get out of this?
Right? And what gifts do I have? Do you have financial gifts in business matters? Do you have gifts in social fields? That kind of thing, right?
Yeah, and sometimes what you want to get out of college is just a liberal education. It's not like, well, what job can I get with a political science degree?
No.
You go through college. It's a polishing experience. It's a growing experience. It enhances you as a person in your speaking ability, your critical thinking ability, your breadth of knowledge of the world. And you might come out with a political science degree and go into get a good job at the Heritage Foundation, or you might go on to law school, or you might even go on to medical school. You take a few biology and anatomy courses and on to medical school. You might work in financial services or something of this sort. But it's because you've got a good philosophy degree, a good politics degree that has made you a capable and attractive and high-functioning person. It's not necessarily a technical degree like I got a degree in dental assistantship, now I'm going to be a dental assistant, this sort of thing. So that sort of thing has to be considered when you consider the cost of college. It's not just the cost involved in training you for a particular job. It's shaping you as a particular person who is then highly attractive to employers in a broad range of fields.
That last minute or so is one of the finest brief defenses of liberal arts education that I've heard. Liberal arts education kind of going by the boards in many ways, but thank you for that. Our guest today, Dr. David Innes, Dr. David Innes, professor of political science at the King's College. We'll hear more about the King's College in the next half hour. A phone number as we chat about preparing your child for college, preparing yourself for college, 631-955-5400. Let me just take a moment to tell you about this program, A Visit to the Pastor's Study. It's a ministry of the Orthodox Presbyterian churches in the metropolitan New York and southern Connecticut area. We have churches in Hamden, Connecticut, and Mount Vernon, New York, and Fresh Meadows, Queens, and right here on Long Island, Franklin Square and Syosset, where Dr. Innes is an ordained teacher serving there with the eldership, and then also in Bohemia here on Long Island. And if you'd like more information on these churches or about the program itself, www.visitthepastorsstudy.org. And that's all one word, visitthepastorsstudy.org. And there you'll find lots of information about the program and about the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. You can also like us on Facebook, Visit to the Pastor's Study available. And also on sermonaudio.com at the Visit the Pastor's Study site, we have the archives of all of the programs, which are basically broadcast magazine articles to introduce you to different slices of life looked at from the perspective of what we call the Reformed faith. And the broadcast work comes to you from Metropolitan New York Incorporated. It's a not-for-profit corporation that not only produces Visit to the Pastor's Study, but has other projects on the drawing boards for to help churches and individuals in officer training and pastoral theology and so on. We'd love to have you communicate with us. Reformation Metro New York Incorporated, Reformation Metro New York Incorporated, P.O. Box 234, Franklin Square, New York, 11010, Reformation Metro New York Incorporated, P.O. Box 234, Franklin Square, New York, 11010. And if you'd rather just contact me personally, I'd love to be in contact with you. Visit Pastor Bill, one word, visit pastorbill@gmail.com is my email address, visit pastorbill@gmail.com. And right now, we'd love to have you reach a visit to the pastor's study for today by calling 631-955-5400, 631-955-5400. Also want to give a special greeting to our listeners on the Redeemer Broadcasting Network with whom this program is simulcast. We're dealing today with preparing your child for college. My guest, Dr. David Innes of the King's College. And Dr. Innes, as we wait for our first telephone call, let's talk about the differences between secular and Christian colleges. Now, you teach in a Christian college. Would you ever think it's appropriate or even better for a person to go to a secular college? Why or why not?
Well, these days especially, it is something to be approached with great caution. It's no longer true that you have two university educations, except one has, you know, Bible classes or adds a Christian dimension. The culture around us is careening into destruction and debauchery and not just unchristian but an anti-Christian civilization, and so a Christian college is typically not doing that. So the secular university is a very spiritually, morally, and intellectually dangerous place. The orthodoxies of progressive liberalism are enforced aggressively and unmercifully. You have the sexual revolution, co-ed dorms, homosexual, transgender issues that are pushed, and if you question them, oh, you're in trouble, and as kind of libertine. Dormitories are co-ed. I mentioned that. Bathrooms in dormitories typically are co-ed. And basically, you're housing students in a brothel. Parents, are you willing to pay for that? So you have to consider that. It was fairly true 20, 30 years ago when I was in college. I'm not going to stop to do the math. And it's even more so now. And free speech, you see constantly stories from secular universities, expensive private ones, public ones, where if you voice opinions that don't conform to the latest leftist trends, this is hate speech. And you say, but what about free speech? And they say, oh, hate speech is not free speech. And, you know, then you're done. And the hostility toward the classics, even the substance of the education, the classics of Shakespeare and Dante and Plato are considered, horrible works by dead white males, and they're substituted for shallow things.
Are you saying that's true of all secular colleges?
Well, no. I mean, there are places in secular colleges where you can still get a good education. Like in maybe a secular university has a particular science program or something that is just not available in Christian colleges. Well, then you've got to go there, but they may require you to take it's reasonable that they would, a sort of liberal arts core. Is along with your science program, and you just have to be ready for that. So it's a difficult world to navigate these days. If at all possible, I would choose a Christian college Christian college or university.
I know people who are listening are going to be saying, especially parents, they're going to be talking about the cost, Dr. Innes, whether you go away to a secular college or away to a Christian college. And they're going to wrestle with the issue of my son or my daughter staying at home. They're not part of, as you put it, of the brothels of the dormitory life of so many secular institutions. staying at home, studying at a local college, secular college, where then they can be interacting with pastors and elders and parents. What about that option?
Well, the college, we talk about the college experience. It's, as I said, formative. It's not, it's the liberal education, but even if it's a more technical education, the experience of going away from home, away from your parents, forging out on your own. I am now charting my own course. I'm on my own. I have to make my own decisions. Yeah, with calls back home, presumably. And I've got to live in this dorm with this roommate and this floor and navigate these professors and these clubs and so forth. There's a maturing process involved in that. There's a polishing experience, a growing experience.
So are you saying to get the maximum benefit out of college, in most cases it's going to be best if your child is actually, even if not moved away, is living, say, on the dorm on the campus and is kind of left father and mother and is cleaving to that institution? You're saying that would get the most benefit out of a college education?
Yeah, it adds an important dimension. And in someone's particular circumstances, maybe going to, in here in Long Island, let's say, Farmingdale State University, and living at home, and financially, that's just the best they can do, and they'll train me to be an engineer, and I'll have to take a history course and an English course, and maybe it's nonsense, maybe it's not so, and that's what you have to do. Fine, but ideally, if you have the ability to for a serious college education, ideally you want to go to the college, regardless of where it is, that offers the best for you and have the whole college experience.
For what it's worth, with our six, if they went mm-hmm. away to school, we insisted it be a Christian college, and we wanted it to be a Christian college that was within the orbit of our convictions as Reformed parents. And one did that. The rest of them have stayed locally. They have gone to secular schools, and we've been able to, although they've not lived on the campus, which is interesting, they've stayed home, and we've been able to work through those issues. The only thing is, each of our children had quite a good background in elementary school, and most of them in secondary schools, in high school, learning from a Christian perspective. Now, does that make a difference when it comes to choosing a college for your child, whether or not your child has had, say, 8 or 12 years or more of Christian education before college?
Yeah, these are all things you have to take into calculation and weigh. These are prudential decisions. There's the ideal, and there is what ideally you want to do, and then there's practically what you can do.
Sure.
And sometimes these are close to each other, and sometimes they're spread far apart. and these are the considerations you have to take in. If you're going to go to a secular university, don't think, oh, this is 1972. Actually, things were pretty bad in 1972 as well.
Yeah.
But this is 1952.
Yeah, okay.
Be aware of the moral challenges, the intellectual challenges, the intellectual bait and switch that goes on in these places. Their reputations far exceed the education they give.
All right, let me go 180 degrees different. What about online education, which is the opposite? You've got students, and they're in their bedrooms or the living room in a house, and they're matriculated at whatever university online, working on a degree. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, if you are in a position where you have to be working full time because of your life situation, then online options are very helpful. I'm on the board of trustees at Geneva College in Western Pennsylvania, and I know they offer a lot of online degrees to what we call mature students, non-traditional students in their 20s and 30s. So online is very helpful for them. But somebody graduating from high school, why would you do this? You want your child sitting around the house in his jammies doing college, and then you don't get the classroom experience with professors and then the sort of discipline, the greater discipline you have to learn.
And also with the students.
It's not the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. And that's certainly true. I don't want to minimize that. Well, those of us that did go away to college, look back upon the friends that we had, or often our closest friends for life. The
network.
The societies we were in, if we joined those societies or fraternals or whatever, fraternities or whatever they would be called, and then the opportunity at least that we had and those things to develop gifts. Yeah, you're right. And there, of course, it's an evaluation of what we have and what we'd like and so on.
Some people take a year off to work and take some courses online, some broad freshman courses online, and that is also an option.
Yeah, sure. Excellent. Yeah. We're dealing with preparing for college. Dr. David Innes, professor of political science at the King's College in Manhattan. We'll hear more about the school in a moment. Phone number 631-955-5400. We'll be back after this message from the voice of A Visit to the Pastor's Study.
It's not enough to listen to pastors on the radio or to watch them on television. Everyone needs a biblically faithful pastor, and everyone needs a biblically faithful church. A Visit to the Pastor's Study is a ministry of the Orthodox Presbyterian Churches in the metropolitan New York area. We're no substitute for a faithful pastor in a local church, but we are a supplement. Visit our website, www.visitthepastorsstudy.org, and you'll find the ministry of this program extended right to your electronic device. Here you'll find archives of past programs, a weekly message from Pastor Bill's Pastor's Post, helps for pastors, helps for congregation members, material for officer training, and much more. That's www.visitthepastorsstudy.org. And we also invite you to contact the host of this program, Pastor Bill Shishko. You can email him at visitpastorbill@gmail.com. He'd love to hear from you so that he can bring his pastoral ministry to you personally. That's visitpastorbill@gmail.com. Remember, everyone needs a pastor. And now back to today's edition of A Visit to the Pastor's Study.
Pastor Bill Shishko here with you. Dr. David Innes, my guest, dealing with preparing for college. Well, Dr. Innes, I know you've waited for this. Tell us a little about the King's College. What makes it an attractive option for Christian parents?
Well, I can combine talking about that with the advantages of a Christian college, the marks of a Christian college as well. Yeah, the King's College is a Christian college in Lower Manhattan. So you're getting we offer not only a Christian education, a Christian college, but also and Christian community in that, intentionally Christian community in that college, but also all the benefits of New York City, the cultural and vocational benefits of the great city. The King's College is unique not only in its placement in New York City, but also as a Christian, there are very few Christian colleges in big cities. But also the core, we have a core of study that everyone has to take. Of the 40 courses, 19 are in the core. And that core centers on politics, philosophy, and economics.
That sounds like something you're familiar with, correct?
Yes, I am.
Dr. Innes, we've got a – this is excellent. I'll give you a minute. We've got a call. It's getting in under the wire here. John from Highland Falls. Hi, John. Welcome to A Visit to the Pastor's Study. What's on your mind?
Well, I had a question. It was really about pertaining myself. I am almost 55 years old. I'm divorced. I have a degree in religious ed, and I have a government job. And so I've been praying and seeking, desiring to go back to college online. I would be borrowing the money. So I'm just calling for advice.
Dr. Innes, advice for John from Highland Falls?
Well, one of the great benefits of online education is for people. Where is Highland Falls, by the way?
It's right near West Point.
Okay, yeah. So one of the advantages of online education is people in your position can not just pick up a book and read an interesting book, but pay for a course where you have a tutor, a mentor, a professor, with a class of people similarly situated. No matter where you are in the country, you have access to this, and they can tutor your studying in something that is very interesting to you and stimulating, and helps you grow as a person, whether you are 35 or 65. So that is something you should take advantage of if you think it's going to be beneficial to you.
That helpful,
and,
John?
And yes.
Mm-hmm. Great. Very good.
And I am also paying on loans right now.
Get them paid off, John.
More loans.
Get them paid off. Remember, the borrower becomes the lender's slave. Thanks so much for calling, John. Appreciate it. Dr. Innes, got about a minute or so left for you. What do you want to let people know about the King's College? Maybe give some contact information as well.
Oh, sure. It is a Christian college in Manhattan, as I said. It is www.tkc, for the King's College, .edu. And at the King's College, we are an intentionally and aggressively Christian college, and by that I mean the Bible is authoritative across the curriculum, but we don't just study the Bible, of course. We study not just special revelation, but general revelation. The way God has given us access to truth in pagan authors, Christian authors, even the enemies of the cross we study, Machiavelli and Nietzsche and Voltaire, because there's wisdom to be found there too. And understand our world, go out and transform our world, lead strategic institutions. And we have students placed in remarkable places, Harvard Law School, the Manhattan Institute, Broadway. We place MSNBC, we place students in Fox Business Network. We place students in profitable and strategic places.
And would you say, Dr. Innes, just in the few seconds you got left, young people are really going to be put through their paces in Christian schools, and is it not true that usually because of that quality of education and the discipline, young people going to Christian colleges and doing well usually get very good job opportunities when they're out there? Is that true?
Yes, our education is quite rigorous. We push them. There's no grade inflation, and when they come out, they are the best that they can be, and they get jobs. And employers come back to us and say, "Where can we get more like?" Well, they talk to those students. They say, "Where can we get more like you?" And that is always very flattering to us when we see that, and we hear it all the time.
Excellent.
They distinguish themselves because they've been pushed by a rigorous program.
Heard that from so many. Thank you so much once again for being our guest, Dr. David Innes, professor of political science at the King's College. And we've come to the end of another visit to the Pastor's Study. And my thanks to Dr. Innes for being my guest today. His program, incidentally, in the archives for A Visit to the Pastor's Study, which you can get from sermonaudio.com and the Visit the Pastor's Study website. The Christian View of Politics is an excellent 55-minute presentation on that subject. Love to get your feedback. Love to get your questions. You can email me at visitpastorbill, all one word, visitpastorbill@gmail.com. Remember, tomorrow's the Lord's Day. Be sure to set up part-time to worship the Lord in the church that is faithful to the Word of God. And remember, everyone needs a pastor. Let's pray. Father, we pray for all Christian institutions on whatever level as they seek to prepare young people to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you will equip them in every way to do that work so that we will see a generation brought up to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus. Amen.
You've been listening to A Visit to the Pastor's Study, a ministry of Reformation Metro New York. Our website is www.reformationmetrony.org. Again, that's www.reformationmetrony.org. For more information on the program, check out our website at www.visitthepastorsstudy.org. www.visitthepastorsstudy.org. That's www.visitthepastorsstudy.org. Listen in next week at 12 noon for another edition of A Visit to the Pastor's Study. Remember, everyone needs a pastor.